People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. How are you, Larry? My name is Greg and there's my co-host.
Good morning.
His name is Larry. I said it a little out of order, but that's okay. We're changing things up today.
I was making faces trying to get you to break up, but it didn't work.
I always have to fight back laughing when I see your face every time. So therefore, I'm not in a good position to laugh when you make faces. I'm not sure if it's real or not.
It's my real face.
It is. I've been wondering all these years if you were ever going to come in one day and see I was lying. This is my real face.
No.
I'm going to reveal.
No, it's my face.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's always nice to see you.
Yeah. So last week we had to run a replay show.
What was it, by the way?
I was gone. I think we did our friend Dr. Treta, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, okay.
A gastroenterologist.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
No.
I got it wrong?
Always.
Can you say it?
Gastroenterologist.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. So this week we have fresh show. We have a guest next week that we're pretty eager to have because we've been talking quite a bit about, or we think she's coming next week. We've been talking quite a bit about Lyme disease and how it's affected people we know, including your own daughter.
Not only my own daughter, but I found out that a friend lives in, where does she live? Virginia. She just contracted it.
Yeah, and it's becoming a unfortunately
epidemic.
An epidemic.
It's actually beyond that now.
And we've found some very strange things in doing our research as far as why the government doesn't acknowledge it in any way. And you know, there's some questions as to how it got out there in the first place, which we've spoken about on the air. It's a man-made created disease, essentially, and all this stuff. Needless to say, more important we're worried about is not the politics and of it. We're worried about how to get help, and if you have it, what to do.
Exactly.
Because it's happening to a lot of people, especially where we are, in a lot of the woodsy, kind of foresty areas, and where there's deer and wildlife.
And this is correct, too. It's really big in this part of the state.
It's like growing like wildfire. Mm-hmm. That is a terrible pun. It wasn't a pun, but it wasn't intended to be, but it came off wrong. It's spreading badly here, and we need to talk about it. So next week, we'll probably have a guest, and if all goes as planned.
Yeah, and she'll be able to clarify some things for us.
Yeah, so for this week, we're just going to kind of touch on some things that we've been, you know, reading about, hearing about, talking to people about. You look like you have something to say, which is very rare this early in the show. I'm going to allow you to say what you want to say first.
Well, you got it wrong, because I'm just sitting here relaxing while you're talking.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a very interesting thing, how your confused face
Face. Take a short nap, but I guess that's not going to happen.
You know, next week...
You woke me up.
Next week, Larry, is July 4th, Independence Day here in the United States. That would be next Thursday, believe it or not. Isn't that crazy? It's already almost July 4th.
It is.
To me, that's like when we're in summer when July 4th happens. Like we're no longer like, oh, at the beginning. It's like we're in it.
Yeah.
People love it. It's something that, you know, I don't even need to really say it, but just please be careful. I know in San Jose it's illegal to do fireworks. You're not allowed in San Jose to do fireworks. You will go to jail. But people do it anyway.
All the time.
I was at a party 2 years, maybe 3 years ago. A friend of mine invited us to, and it was in the backyard of his house in Milpitas, and they did fireworks, and they were excited all day. Like, we're going to do fireworks. I'm like, you sure? It's dry here, and I don't want to be associated. So I was like almost like contemplating leaving. They're like, no, we're safe. Like, we would never do anything that's going to – yeah, but, you know, the grass is dry and there's trees around your house. Like,
the foothills are right there.
What they didn't do was they didn't light the neighborhood on fire. So that part, I'm going to put that away. But what I didn't realize is how dangerous what they do. They were running out and lighting them and running away and then, like, going back to get new ones and then not realizing – like, oh,
it was still lit.
The fuse must have went out. Let me go light it again. And then they ran out and then it would shoot off right as they were there. I'm like, I'm going to see somebody lose an eye or a hand. I was so worried about it. It is so dangerous to do fireworks. I don't care how careful you are. They are not a perfect science. You are not a professional. No. They're like the Macy's people, whoever do those.
Whoever.
I know there's a name for the people that do the big fireworks over New York and San Francisco.
Crazy?
What?
Crazy?
Yeah, but they're very organized, so no one's going to get hurt in their world.
Well,
but
not necessarily.
Every one of us is in danger when we touch these things.
Yeah, it's, what would you call it? You would call it, there is a term for that. Anyway, it's organized, but it's still very dangerous.
Yeah, organized chaos?
Organized confusion. Something like that.
In any case, I will say that is, I don't think we have to worry too much about the majority of people doing that, but if you are one of those people that decide you want to do your fireworks this year, and maybe you don't live in
Do them inside your house.
Yeah, do it.
If you want to be safe, do them inside.
Yeah, that's safe, Larry. Burn your own house down.
No, you got the roof. It'll stop the bottle rocks from going off anyway.
Yeah, but then it'll land on your couch.
That's okay.
Your shag carpet.
Stuffing, it doesn't burn fast.
So,
only if you're asleep.
Larry. Don't, please don't give anybody ideas.
Brain fog. Like, this guy's only 33. 33 years old. He's getting brain fog.
Somebody is going to come back and be like, Larry mentioned that this could be done. And now look, and now you guys were at fault. So I'm going to say on behalf of Larry, don't listen to what Larry said. He was joking.
You never want to do this at home.
Yes. So the other thing I want to mention is in August, it becomes Independence Month for our Desi friends too. Mm-hmm. So, this is a great time of year, a lot of pride, a lot of good food and good times outdoors and barbecues and such. Enjoy that time. But
so
play
don't
it
remember,
safe.
Who, I mean, don't forget who your friends are, Greg and I.
That's
We're
right.
We're here to liven up your party. So
play it safe.
You've remember got a full month to do that.
Who was the character that was like Smokey the Bear? It was like the one that would like
the
prevent
bear.
Forest
it was a
fires.
Bear. It was a bear.
It wasn't like Smokey the Bear.
Smokey the Bear was a bear.
Yeah, but it was the one to prevent wildfires, right?
Like yeah,
was,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. All right.
But so I mean, he was actually when I was growing up as a kid, back in the late 70s.
Were you born after Smokey the Bear?
In the late 70s.
Like McGruff the Crime Dog. I feel like he's about my age.
Was I growing up with what now? What did you say? I'm sorry, I was listening
no,
to my own
do
job.
You remember McGruff the Crime Dog?
Kind of.
It was like they would come to your school. It was like a dog. And
yeah,
a
I thought it was stupid. I thought it was
it's
stupid.
Very stupid. But that's how they got through to kids. Like don't steal things. Or like don't you know? It was like it came. They had brought in a life size dog and
maybe
a trench coat.
I don't know.
Who the hell thought that was a good idea? Like kids are in school. You know, like thinking like
you're right
I
though. I do remember that, but I always thought it was stupid.
What am I having for lunch today? And then this man sized dog walks in on two legs, not on four, in a trench coat with a top hat.
But
and
he was trained. He was trained to do that.
He was trained to do that.
It's not uncommon.
I think he was a hound dog or something. Like
he
a
was a hound,
hound
dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny. So did you remember, you wanted to bring something up. I was curious what you, there were a few things I wanted to talk about, but what are some of the things on your mind?
I forgot.
Come on.
Well, there's a lot on my mind. You forget.
Well.
There's always, and that's why you're looking at me, you're saying that you're, he has something to say.
I'm going
to
share a little something quarter. With our listeners, okay?
Okay.
Before each show, when we don't have a guest, we usually have a plan of what we're going to do. And I always will say, what
You're
did you
a
want
liar.
To talk?
We never have a plan.
What did you want to talk about today? And he gets angry at me like, come on, man. Like, we ever have to worry about that. He does this every time this conversation happens. And today, he's when like, I got ever? Some things. I'll tell you about them when we get on the air.
That's true.
As soon as we get on the air, he goes blank. And it's on me now to try and navigate, which is not a problem because I have many things to talk about. But then you'll complain that I don't give you enough mic
time.
Yeah,
but they're all boring things.
Tell me what you want
to
talk about.
What I have to say is always much more profound.
I'm giving you the platform.
I just can't think of it right now.
All right. So let's talk about this then.
Okay.
I wanted to mention one of the big – I guess it's
– Come on. You can do it. You can do it.
Don't put the pressure on me.
What is it?
It's been, you know, June is Pride Month, right? So we're now, and I think
we're at
this show airs on the first day of July, but there's a lot going on, right? I know there's a lot of Pride parades. There were, I think San Jose and San Francisco do them on different dates. San Francisco's, I believe, is in July. So it's still relevant here. And I have to say, one of the things I've noticed since moving to the Bay Area now, what, 5 years? It'll be 5 years in a couple of days.
Wow.
I think people here really do define tolerance in a lot of ways. I think if you go to other areas of this country, even in very, very urban, liberal areas like New York City or beyond, there's so many small towns around New York, very conservative in New Jersey, Connecticut, a lot of money.
A lot of pockets.
A lot of pockets, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of tolerance and there's a lot of culture there, as you would imagine. But when you start getting into the Midwest states or a lot of the Southern states, tolerance is still an issue. My thing with tolerance has always been, if you don't appreciate it and you don't like it, it doesn't mean you have to like it, but you have to be willing to accept that these people are not you and they're different and you need to be able to coexist and allow yourself to get past the fact that it has nothing to do with you and you have to tolerate people and you have to be kind to people. It doesn't change them in being human beings, right? In this area, I see more of that than anything. And I have to say it's very, very rewarding and heartwarming to see that kind of acceptance here. And I think it's going to segue into the thing you wanted to talk about, which I now remembered.
What was that?
I was telling you the story of those brothers who I have back in New Jersey, the twin brothers who were very ill.
Yes.
Cerebral palsy. And they became big fans of my radio show back in New Jersey, New York. And I became friends with them. And they were, you know, wheelchair bound. And God rest his soul, Eddie had passed away years and years ago now. I guess about several years back and before I moved. And the brother Anthony, who is, you know, very a fighter, continues hanging in there.
Okay,
and, you know,
I was going to ask you that, yeah.
But it was a very difficult thing for me to handle when I first met them because I had to sort of learn how to interact with them because they didn't speak, they didn't really move except their eyes, and they smiled, and how to remember that beyond their disability and within them, they were 100% sharp, smart, normal mm-hmm. kids, 17, 18 year old kids.
Yeah.
How do you manage that when you've never really had to be in that situation or position before? So it took me a while, but it also made me realize, like, doesn't matter what you're seeing on the outside, it's really essentially the same thing on the inside if they're able-minded, of course.
Yeah.
And in this case, they were. And even if they weren't, they still are human beings that deserve that same chance and respect. So I feel like that sort of segues into what we were talking about off the air, about just how to handle those situations.
Yeah,
be tolerant and understanding and empathetic.
And how can you really be prepared for that, though? I guess it depends on the severity of the situation.
Have you been in any situation like that before?
Well, I have many times. Especially with, I'm a big fan of, I love people that went down.
Yeah.
And I've had two very dear friends.
Yes.
With that. One passed and the other one's still with us. She's young. She's a teenager. But just extremely, exceedingly precious human beings.
Totally. You know?
And so, I mean, it catches us off guard initially if we've never been around anybody with a disability of any kind,
right.
Special needs. And we just don't know how to prepare ourselves for something like that. Basically, they are just like we're all the same color on the inside, you know, we all have
blood red. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, put it bluntly and very simply, they are just human beings and they're real. And when we treat them just like we would treat one another with certain, you know, there are certain things you have to be aware of.
Yeah.
But typically they just want to be treated like you and I. So when you do encounter somebody with special needs or somebody like you said, they had cerebral palsy,
right.
I knew two, maybe three people in my life that had cerebral palsy. Wonderful, wonderful human beings.
Yeah.
Wheelchair bound, couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And they were just like, they were all kind of like contorted,
yeah.
You could say. But they understood everything that I said, and they could, you know, through the caregiver that was taking care of them, would write basically write what they were saying. They could communicate. Somehow they had a communication skill between each other where she could actually interpret for me, and I could understand what they were saying and answer to my question. They would answer me back. But
right.
Yeah, and they said the same thing, the caregivers. They're normal. On the inside, they're just like you and I.
Right.
So when you come against somebody like that, and I'm speaking to the audience in general, just treat them like you would anybody else.
Yeah. As basically. With anything, you have to be mindful of the fact that they're very, in some ways, they're going to be like you, right? Like
yeah, exactly.
Like, I that's always what makes me laugh about people who are prejudiced against a stereotype or a person from a different place. Because in reality, how does it make them any different because their skin color is different or because their accent is different or their language is different? It doesn't, it's ridiculous to think that any one type of person is more important or better than another, because it's just really a matter of where you are on the earth and what kind of sunlight you've been exposed to. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah,
a silly, silly thing that anybody would think they're big enough to be better than somebody else. You could say... in ways of like, you know, competition and competitive nature, people like, I'm better than this person at this, at sports, or I'm better the singer than this person. And that's a little bit different, even though it's still a lot of ego. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people that can look at another race and say like, you know, I'm prejudiced against these people. It's like, what are you, crazy? What do you think you are? You know what I mean? It always amazes me how on this planet, we all share the same planet. Like, we're all on the same globe, right? That, like, we still don't really... we understand it, but we don't fully understand. There are still people that believe it's flat, for crying out loud.
I'm actually one of those.
You're really one of those?
No, not really.
Or a flat earth?
No.
Flat earther, they call
them?
No,
I was just pulling your chain.
But there are people like that. So there are. To think that there's anyone here that has better knowledge or knows more than another is just crazy. Like, we've all got the same information, and, you know, maybe there's different beliefs in God, or maybe there's different beliefs in how it happened or whatever. Bottom line is, we're all on the same rock and we're all trying to survive the same way. How are you thinking you're any different? It blows my mind.
One of the reasons I really love being here is because it's very diverse, you know, culturally.
Yeah, very.
I love the fact that it is.
We're a minority here.
Yes, we are.
And I'm absolutely okay with it.
I'm totally fine with it.
Right.
I'm totally fine with it.
I've always decided, I thought this at a young age, there's only so many places I would live in this country. I would move to another country for sure. It's not easy to do that, but I'd be open to it. But in this country, I would only live in areas where there's a lot of culture. Because mm-hmm. I don't like small towns in middle America. I love to visit those places, and the people are always so nice. It's nothing to do with that. I just like to learn about culture and different... I mean, look, my full-time job is programming a Bollywood radio station, and I didn't have any background in Bollywood music for over 30 years of my life.
Yeah.
But now this is what I do. I'm a music fanatic. You know this. I'm all music all the time. This was just another thing for me to learn and understand, and I loved it. And I love learning about the Desi culture. I love learning about the country of India. I love it all. The different rituals and holy days, and it's just unbelievable. I love it. But the thing is, I don't want to go somewhere where that wonder doesn't exist.
I think
we live in an area here. We're very lucky. It's almost like its own country. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I hate to use the word melting pot, but it's definitely an abundance of different influences of different cultures.
It is. How many cultures would you say were here, just off the top of your
head?
What do you
mean, like just
individual ethnicities, countries? You know, yeah, I mean, simplify
it. It's probably, I mean, much like New York, I feel like you probably have a little representation of everything.
I think we do.
I would say, because California and where we are in the Bay Area and all the opportunities here, I would say we're...
Yeah, especially...
I wouldn't say every country in the world is represented here, but I would say it's probably... Other than New York, I'd say we're in the hub of culture and vast cultures, mm-hmm. wide ranges. New York would probably be number one because it's such a...
Do you think so? I would have thought that. I don't know anymore.
Because you could find any community in New York. Like, if you're from a certain country, you could be like, well, where's the Haitian community? Well, they're in Queens. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you would know there's going to be something. There's Jewish communities. There's Persian communities. Like here, same here. Like you know where to go for certain things.
That's true.
And also, everybody coexists. So like, you can go to a Greek festival here and there's not going to be Greek people. It will be some, but you're going to find every other mm-hmm. because people here appreciate the different foods and the different, communities. Yeah. But I would say, I would think New York and San Francisco are the two, in this country, probably the two biggest widest range of cultures. Would you disagree?
Nope, not at all.
L.A. maybe another one? I don't...
Yeah, it's close, but I don't think...
Still, there's a lot of privilege in L.A., I think.
Do you really?
I do. I think it's a very... I think it's more...
Why, because of Beverly Hills?
I'm white, and I can say this, but I think it's very white in L.A., because I think you get a lot of people moving from other areas to go be actors.
It's much larger, I guess.
It's models and actors. I know that's very stereotypical, but I've been there many times, and it is a lot of... I don't want to call uppity people, but I think it's a lot of, like, entitled people in L.A. Not so much the Bay Area. I feel more in the L.A. area. Do you disagree with me?
Yeah.
You're from there, but I don't think of you as that way.
I'm not.
So I think you're an exception to the rule.
So, I mean, I've done work in Beverly Hills and Montecito, Santa Barbara,
right.
San Francisco, all over. Very wealthy, well-to-do communities. And I have to say, based on where I've worked, just based on that I think San Francisco is probably the more snooty.
Snooty?
I would say.
See, I totally disagree.
No, if you lived in Los Gatos, you wouldn't disagree.
That's Los Gatos is snooty.
Yeah.
You said San Francisco. Well, I don't think San Francisco. Any rich town. Los Gatos is a rich town, Larry.
Yeah.
You have to have money to live in Los Gatos.
San Francisco, too, though.
You have to have money to live everywhere. Los Gatos, and I think Los Gatos and Mountain View are the highest after San Jose.
Really?
Those. I think it's Mountain View. There's another one. Maybe it's...
I always said Menlo Park.
Maybe it's San...
Los Altos.
Los Altos. That was the other one I'm thinking of.
Los Altos Hills.
But San Francisco's below all those because the higher average cost of real estate here is higher than in San Francisco. You could still get a pretty affordable studio apartment in San Francisco, not here.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm telling you, there was this thing that came out not long ago that
showed how
much you had to make to live in, like, the most expensive places to live, median salary, and San Jose was number one in the country.
Really?
Yep, number one most expensive place to live in the country.
I think I remember that. I think you
more than New York, more than San Francisco.
Yes.
That's crazy.
More than Hawaii.
Hawaii is not as expensive as you think. It's up there, but it's not nearly... There's like 10 places in California above it.
I was in Hawaii in 1971, and I was there with my girlfriend. And for a baked potato at this restaurant, it was a five-star restaurant called Arthur's, the baked potato cost $10. A cheap potato. Of course, it was big, but it was 10 bucks for a baked potato.
$10?
Yeah, you can get 10 pounds of potatoes for like, what, $1.50.
That's insane.
It was insane. It was. So back then, though, you know, because it was just starting to be really touristy back then.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking here, and this is the top 20. This was as of, I think it's April or May, this report, Kiplinger. Put this report out.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
Los Angeles is the number... This is most expensive cities to live in America as of the spring of this year. Los Angeles was number 12.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say number one.
The Orange County, California is number 11. Boston, number 10. Queens, New York, number 9.
Really?
Arlington, Virginia, number 8. Oakland, California, number 7. Seattle, number 6. Washington, D.C., 5. Brooklyn, New York, 4. Honolulu, number 3. San Francisco, number 2. Manhattan, New York, number 1. Now, San Francisco is the greater Bay Area because it even says in here that San Jose is... It's San Francisco, but it's considered the Bay Area. But San Jose is higher cost, average cost to live comfortably. San Jose's higher than... So you have to make, I think, $238,000 to live comfortably in San Jose. And San Francisco was like $208,000 or something like that. Mm. Imagine that, though. Can you imagine? The average home price in this area, as we all know, $1.2 million.
I believe for a
The average rent for an apartment in San Francisco is $3,821. That's 3.5 times the national average. This is San Francisco, folks. So we live in a very expensive place to live. And yet there is a lot of tolerance, and yet there is a lot of culture.
And that will change, too. It always does.
Yeah. It's cyclical. You think eventually this place will fall down and it'll become
The bottom will fall out. It will. It's just inevitable.
You mean the market itself? Because the jobs aren't going to go anywhere unless these big companies leave to go to other cheaper states they've done with Austin and Seattle.
I can't predict what the reason will be. I can just predict that it will happen. It's inevitable.
At some point.
Always does. Yeah, sure. Because everything reaches a saturation point. I don't care what it is. I don't care how much money you have.
It's like every
great
TV show. Eventually, nothing's going to last.
Yeah, it's finished. So it's going to happen. And I think a lot of times it needs to happen because I think people get extremely greedy and they take advantage of other people. And I'm never down with that.
I've felt for a long time now that this area was going to hurt itself because they've priced out blue-collar people.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, policemen, firemen, the most important people in our community, I think we'd all agree, mm-hmm. are not even making enough to afford a house on their salary. They have to work second job. Most people here have to work second jobs unless you work in the tech industry or you're making a significant amount of money in one of those industries that are booming right now.
Yep.
But you cannot live if you're a firefighter or a policeman. You'd have to have a double salary, and you need to probably live in a low-income housing based on their average. Isn't that crazy thought?
Yes, it's true.
On low-income housing, and you're probably the most – teachers, policemen, and firemen are the cornerstones of every community.
Yeah, that's true.
Every one of us need them.
Yep.
And yet they can't survive unless they go get a second job as security or whatever it is. It's just an unbelievable thought, and it's got to change. Otherwise, we're going to ruin what we have here.
It's true. And it always comes down to money.
Yeah. That's life, too, I guess.
It is. And that's just the thread that runs through it.
Yeah. And you know what? Like you said, greed always leads to the empires falling, right?
Yeah, everything like
Rome,
bad.
Rome
mm-hmm.
collapsed because of greed.
Yep.
And it was only, that's why a lot of people think it's happening here in this country. Wow. But I think we still are set a higher bar than almost everywhere else. So I think we still have a little time to save ourselves.
I think there's a lot of good people in this country and things can turn around. But it takes the people to do it.
Yep.
Not our government.
Yep. We got to band together and do it.
Yeah, we really do.
Little pieces like this show where we try and bring those people in to make the difference.
This is true.
The kids that are the future and the people that are doing it now. That's the whole point we did the show.
Yeah. And it's always what our show has always been about. You know, it's just about community.
What a way to wrap around to the end of the show.
Is it the end of the show?
We just, and we did it in a way where we brought it right back to our intentions, if you will.
I know. And we always wonder about that.
We were almost off the rails earlier. I don't know if anybody knows this. We were close as we've ever been.
I never thought that. I never get stressed over stuff. Like
I don't
that.
Get stressed. I was
you
just,
were all stressed out. Your face was all contorted.
I've had a
what
rough,
a mask.
I've had a rough few weeks, and my head was definitely not.
You have.
I was not.
Yeah, you're
executing at my highest level today.
Ah,
so
you did okay.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. What do you got? Anything before you want to say anything?
No,
we were
talking about tolerance earlier, so we can finish it on that note. I mean, we are a multicultural, multi-ethnic community here in the Bay Area. And I think all governments aside, all the people here in this community, we all love each other. We know it. And we thank you for being a big part of this show and making us as successful as we are.
Thank you for that. I want to wish my mom a happy birthday, although she's probably not able to listen to this show as it's running.
But she can hear it.
I'm going to send it to her.
Okay.
And I want to wish her happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
I don't
mom.
Do that often on the air for anybody.
Happy birthday.
Of course, it's mine.
I love your son.
She's a
so
great.
I love you too.
She's much better than me. She's the best. So anyway, thanks, Larry, for everything. Next week, we'll be back. Like I said, we have a scheduled guest in here, so we're excited about that.
Sometimes these
things don't pan out because obviously everybody who we do bring in generally has other things going on.
Well, it's a crazy time of the year for us.
It can interfere, but we're hoping that it works out because we're very excited to have her.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to everybody for listening to this show. And again, we'll talk more next week. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll see you back here on People Helping People, Bali 92.3 FM.